You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Friday kicked off the Western Idaho Fair. Every year, thousands of people flock to the fairgrounds in Boise for fun, food, rides, and animals. You name it, it seems like the fair has it. Boise State Public Radio's Laramie Lavalla and Kelsey Thompson took a trip to the fair, and they brought back this audio postcard.
The 123rd year of the Western Idaho Fair has kicked off. Within the 10 days the fair is in town, 250,000 people will attend. But we wondered, how has the fair changed over the years? So we talked with interim director Bob Batista to find out.
It's had several different name changes over the course of the year. It was the Idaho Intermountain Fair, and then it was the Idaho State Fair, and it was the Boise Fair, and it was the Gem State Fair. And finally, some, I don't know how many years ago, they settled on the Western Idaho Fair. This is really just a county fair, Ada County's fair, but we take on a regional aspect. You know, we probably have a radius of 100 miles that people come from Oregon, northern Idaho, eastern Idaho, and come down here to see the fair. It's been at this location since the late 60s, early 70s. Various parts and pieces have eventually grown into this. But it's been here for probably over 40-some years now in this location. It used to be up off of Fairview up there before it was here. And when it was up on Fairview, they moved it out here. This was a long way from the main community. This was like out in the sticks, so to speak. Now we're in the major heart of the Boise, Garden City, Meridian area.
After talking to Bob Batista, we went over to the premium office, where everything to be judged at the fair goes first, to speak with the coordinator, Hans Bruin. On our way, we pass the antique tractors.
We have 11 livestock departments, and we have 11 building departments, and then we have 28 4-H and FFA departments. So, but then in each of those departments, we got breakdowns again. Like, for instance, we have one department of beef cattle where we got 7 different varieties of beef cattle that show here. Inside, like the registered light horse team, we have a Wells pony show, and we have a drill team competition. So it's you know, quite a bit more than just 11 livestock departments.
But with the Treasure Valley changing, so is the fair, and especially the 4-H and FFA programs. Here are just a few ways Hans has seen these change.
When I showed dairy cattle here, that whole dairy section was full of dairy cattle from wall to wall. This year, we actually have more than we did last year, but we only have like 40 head coming. You know, there used to be a couple hundred head. And that's the change of the times. You know, dairy farms are now big dairies. You know, they milk thousands of cows. Those people don't generally show cows. They're just too busy with what they're doing. So less and less dairy farmers show cows. So now, on the other hand, sheep and goats numbers go up because more people, especially dairy goats, you know, more and more people have dairy goats. And meat goats is a big one that kind of is expanding, so we can see some changes in there. We have no problem finding, you know, filling our bins full of dairy goats and sheep. This year we're actually fairly lucky. We have a record amount of draft horses coming, which is a little different because, you know, not too many people use draft horses. We've got 57 coming. But several of those are what they call like a smaller size, like gypsy horses and halflingers, and so a little bit more lighter draft breeds, and people like working with them.
We take a quick stroll through the building with all the poultry before heading to the food court for lunch, where we visited with longtime fairgoers Kathy Pierce, Luis Duvall, and Betty Rigbile.
We used to come all the time with family, kids, be here the whole
day. Yeah, I was going to say probably 70 years ago I started coming. And
yeah, and when we moved here, I came almost every year.
Well, see, I come every year.
Yeah, because she's a quilter.
I'm a quilter, so I come to look at the quilts every year.
Oh, that's so cool.
But, and to have a pronto cup. Always have to have a pronto cup.
Yeah, and a funnel cake.
After lunch, we wanted to know how the fair impacts the surrounding communities.
Well, this is a big economic impact for the community because you take all the food vendors here, they all buy different food products from local people here. You take the carnival comes in, they buy a ton of fuel and tires and various stuff. Their help goes to local restaurants and spends money there. The commercial exhibitors that are people that sell the various sunglasses and so forth, they all buy stuff here, so we're really a pretty big engine as far as creating economic impact for the community.
We were getting a little warm, so we headed to the expo buildings to look at all the art, which is entered by members of the general public. So I asked why the decision was made to open these competitions up to everyone instead of just 4-H and FFA members.
It gives the opportunity for the general public to show off, you know, what they're good at, whether it's knitting, crocheting, or taking pictures or drawing. You know, I don't know if you've gone through the building yet, but there's some tremendous art pieces too. You know, some very good artists around. And then we have a youth department, which is, you know, for those kids who are not 4-H or FFA, given a chance to enter everything from culinary to drawing to, you know, model building, anything like that, to give them the opportunity.
People keep coming back to the fair each year.
I think people enjoy the fair. I think they enjoy the atmosphere. I think they enjoy the comfort that they hopefully feel safe here. We take a lot of measures to try and make sure that it is safe for them.
That was Boise State Public Radio's Laramie Lavalla and Kelsey Thompson at the Western Idaho Fair. The fair runs through Thursday. And we need a little bit of your help, if possible, for tomorrow's program. I will be interviewing the new president of Boise State University, Dr. Marlene Trump. We do have to tape that interview, which we normally don't do, but busy schedules are in play right now. So you have about 1 hour left to get your questions or your comments in for this interview. We would really love for you to participate. So if you have a question or comment, you can tweet us. Use the hashtag Idaho Matters and tweet that to us, and we will get that to you. You can also quickly send an email to idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we may just ask Dr. Trump a question or read a comment. So you have 1 hour to do that before we tape that segment with her. That segment will air tomorrow on Idaho Matters, so be looking for that as well. I want to thank all of you for joining us today and being a part of Idaho Matters. Couldn't do this show if you didn't listen, so really do appreciate it. My producer, Samantha Wright, and Frankie Barnhill. Associate producer is Hannah Gardowski. Our program associate is Norm Gunning. Our theme music, it was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. I'm Gemma Gaudet. It is Monday for a lot of you. It was kids back to school. Hope that went smoothly. Hope pickup is good. Huh. It's always hard getting those kids back up and running to school, isn't it? Thank you also for being a part of Idaho Matters. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.